It is customary before we begin class to pause a few moments for silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our study, we do pray that the Holy Spirit would inform us as we provide the concentration and the interest. For what we study now reveals to us one of the most powerful aspects of the Christian way of life, and that is spirituality. And with it, we can grow in grace, advance within your plan, and become more professional Christians in our daily walk. To these ends, we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We were noting as we close first session, point 9 in the doctrine of spirituality, that spirituality is referenced by other nomenclature in Scripture. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. In this verse, the verb walk is peripateo. Peripateo means to go on one's way. It is used figuratively for a rule by which one governs himself or a manner of life by which he is accustomed to employ. So the word walk here has to do with facilitated wheel tracks of righteousness. They can be of wickedness, but that's not the context here because it reads, I say, walk in the Spirit. That means be a spiritual person. Spirituality is filling with the Holy Spirit. So there are a number of synonyms with regard to this word walk and peripateo. Synonyms include poruomai. This is the metaphorical word for walking. It means to conduct oneself. As you get up out of a chair or out of bed or wherever you're seated and you begin to go from point A to point B, you make decisions along the way. But the walk has to do with your daily modus operandi, the decisions you make throughout. We all have a walk in life, and that's the concept behind peripateo. Your inventory of ideas guide you with regard to the decisions you make along the way. And you are to make those decisions under the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is your walk in the Spirit. And walk, therefore, becomes an illustrative concept. It means to conduct oneself. It means a rule or a manner. For example, Acts 9:31 speaks of living in the fear of the Lord. And living there has to do with your walk. You have trachea, a wheel track, a way or a path. Figuratively, ways of life or conduct. Hebrews 12:13 compared with Proverbs 4:26. And those two passages in the Hebrew and then the Greek make straight paths with your feet. Now, in order to make straight paths, you have to make decisions. There are decisions to be made about what to do about a given circumstance. But oftentimes what is needed in the decision-making process is the application of the Word of God. In order to make good decisions from a position of strength, that would mean the filling of the Spirit where He could access your inventory of ideas, bring this to the conscious mind, and then challenge you to pull that volitional trigger. And when you make that decision, then you have pulled forth in your soul this idea that you've captured from the Word of God. And you make application of that to the circumstance, that would be a decision made from the position of divine good. And therefore, a good thing has been accomplished when you do it that way. To make a decision out of fellowship, and you pull the data from the inventory of cosmic thought, then that is not a good thing. And therefore, you have made a bad decision that limits your future options. So the word poruomai here is a way to include this. Synonyms include poruomai and trachea. Therefore, the concept of spirituality refers to the believer being current on rebound, which includes the filling of the Holy Spirit. Spirituality is simply living in the bubble. Therefore, Spirituality and carnality are mutually exclusive. You're not partly filled with the Spirit and partly carnal. They're absolutes. You're one or the other. I've not been in arguments, but this goes way back to my days in Houston, where you'd run into somebody and you would discuss this particular doctrine and idea. And the doctrine teaches the absolute of spirituality, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit made possible by confession alone to God alone. There are those who think that you are not necessarily in a status of carnality when you do make decisions that are wrong, but you don't know that they're wrong. And therefore, you don't lose the filling of the Spirit. Okay, let's work with that for a second. Let's just say that you've never grasped the idea of thou shalt not steal. And you decide you're going to rob the First National Bank. And because you don't know that anything's wrong with that, you wouldn't take a gun in there. And you would ask the teller to give me all your money. And then she would do it. And you'd say, thank you very much, and calmly turn and walk out the door. Get in your car and hope to drive away while all these sirens are going off. Because you didn't know that robbing was wrong. And you put that in many contexts, that's a stupid one. But it's a sin, and now you have violated a number of things, an establishment problem, by the way, as well as a personal problem. And therefore, you're out of fellowship when you do that. Therefore, you take people who do not understand spirituality, and it is an absolute, and it is the filling of the Holy Spirit. But also the Holy Spirit must avail you to information from the Word of God that you know, so that you can make good decisions from that position of strength. If you believe in Christ, and you have eternal life, but you choose not to grow in grace, to avoid Bible study because it's boring, then you are not gaining information by which to make good decisions. So what you think is a good thing, and I gave an illustration at the beginning of our day, how some people think they're good people because they view what they're doing as good things. And if it's a good thing, then I'm a good person. So they make decisions based on the fact of their own inventory. And their inventory is flawed. It is erroneous. It is unbiblical, and it doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit because they don't know the fact that they're living in the dark. And if you're living in the dark, then you're not living in the light. Light and darkness are different. Darkness, no light. Light, no darkness. And so living in darkness thinking you're in the light is a confusing status quo for so many people because they believe the decisions they make are good decisions. And therefore, they believe they are good people. Now, the question that's going to arise, I know a lot of people who think that way, but they're not really bad people. Right. They're not bad people. They are uninformed people. And the things that they do are not necessarily something you call the police over. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is how is it that a person relates to the perfect God of the universe? How is it that fallen mankind can have a relationship, a beneficial relationship with a perfect God? How do you do that? You don't make up going along the way, well, I think that if I do A, B, C, and D, these are good things, and therefore if I do them, I'm a good person. In the eyes of whom? In the eyes of people standing around, in the eyes of people in the church, people in your family, friends, they say you're a good person. And in the human sphere, you are. Question arises, what does God think of this? When you're violating His mandates, when you're not in status quo spirituality, when you're making decisions from a position of weakness, how do you relate with God who's perfect? That's the question. How do you get to the point to where you can be on the same frequency with God and therefore allow His mandates His leadership, His doctrines inform you about the decisions you make so that it glorifies Him and not you. You can therefore make decisions that are wrong and even sinful, that don't absolutely destroy the lives of people, but what's your relationship with the perfect God? What's that going to be? And therefore, what is Christianity other than the classroom whereby you learn how to be a good Christian? How do you do that? You come into Bible class and you begin to study the thinking of God, the mind of Christ. And you appropriate the thinking of God in your soul through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who informs you what you've been doing is human good. It is not appropriate for the life of a believer. It provides for you nothing. You are living on human effort. And the things you do may be good at times as far as the human viewpoint is concerned, but they may be wrong at times according to human viewpoint. How do you get to the level of sophisticated thought so that the decisions you make glorify God? The way to do that is status quo spirituality under the filling of the Holy Spirit and an inventory of ideas that He can bring to your mind's eye so that you can pull that volitional trigger and perform divine good that magnifies the Word and therefore glorifies God. That's the difference. So, spirituality and carnality are mutually exclusive. You're not just a little bit carnal and a little bit spiritual. You're either one or the other. The Scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Confession alone to God alone. Then you're spiritual. Then you have the filling of the Holy Spirit. What is it in your inventory that the Holy Spirit can call up for you to consider in order to make good decisions? What have you got? What do you know? What are you willing to facilitate into wheel track of righteousness, which is the path of least resistance in decision making on that particular subject? Spirituality has nothing to do with the indwelling of the three members of the Trinity. These are attributes you have that you do not feel. You don't feel the indwelling. You don't have to ask for it. It's part of the salvation ministries that occur at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone. So this is permanent, the indwelling of the members of the Trinity, and continues even when the believer is in status quo carnality. Spirituality has nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a permanent condition of the believer being identified with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session. In other words, this is positional truth, top circle assets. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about. And that's permanent, and you don't feel that. Now, when out of fellowship, the believer may become involved in false concepts of spirituality, but which are only expressions of the sin nature's trends toward legalism. This is Colossians 2, 16 through 21, and also the production of human good noted in Hebrews 6, 1 and Titus 3, 5. So out of fellowship is where the believer gets involved in false concepts of spirituality, which I've just illustrated. Now, if you ask a person, when you get to heaven and God asks you, under what ground should I allow you into my heaven, what would you say? Okay, you ask this. If you want to find out whether a person's saved or not, you ask them that question. And then you shut up and listen. For they're going to go into their inventory of ideas, what they believe about eternal life, what they believe about their status before God, and what is necessary to have a relationship with Him. And if they say, I believe that since I've placed my personal faith in Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. And therefore, when I die, I will be instantly in heaven. Right answer. But if they then say, I believe that I'm a good person, wrong. Everybody's got it backwards when it comes to religion. They want everybody to think that they can line up with these behavior patterns that they will map out for you. And that if you can do these things consistently, then God will like you now and He'll let you go to heaven when you die. This is not a contest to make God like you. He doesn't have a relationship with you. Okay, that's different. God loves the human race to such a degree that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish in the lake of fire, but would have eternal life. So His love for the human race is such that He provided a way by which you may have eternal life with Him. And between the moment of salvation and the moment of your physical death, there are things to do. Think like Christ. Appropriate your inventory of ideas with the Word of God. Make decisions based on those ideas, and you will be doing good things. You do not impress God enough with what you think is a good thing so that you can be saved. You're already saved when you express faith in Christ. Only at that point can you begin a process of learning how to do good things. And those good things would be divine good based on the Word of God and your application of it. So you know people who make this statement. They think that they're going to go to heaven because they're a good person. Question might be posed then, are you good enough? The response might be, well, I don't know. I'm good enough. I think I am. I hope I am. Maybe I am. But, you know, there's always purgatory and people can pray me out of there. So I've got a backup system. I've got some backup here. Now, don't you think that's sad? People, that religion drives people to a conclusion that is not found in Scripture. That's not found. Spirituality is the status in which the believer produces divine good that is rewarded at the evaluation tribunal of Christ. Illustrated in 1 Corinthians 3 verses 12 and 14 by the teaching aids of gold, silver, and precious stones. That's where divine good gets certified. So, don't you see? You don't know what's going to catch fire. You think you've done divine good. You know, let's all go back. Let's go back to salvation. Wherever you were saved, that's your instant spirituality. You're filled with the Spirit. Okay? And then you start your process. And then you decide, I am going to try to figure out what I can do to impress God. And then you start doing those things. And you think, I am building up quite the inventory here. As I think back, I can think, just let me just jot some of these down. And you start doing that. And then you think, you begin sort of self-righteous arrogance. You know, people like me. And I've done a lot of things around town. I am a member of the Rotary Club. And so I was voted a Citizen of the Year, okay? And I do things at the school, things like that. Oh, and I contribute to the March of Dimes. So I'll write that one down. And you're thinking, as you build your inventory and your dossier, you're thinking, when I get to heaven, this is just going to be a small puff of smoke. And it's going to be, once the smoke clears, there's gold and silver and these precious stones. And what happens is a conflagration. A conflagration. And the smoke and the cinders, the soot, and you scrape it all away, and there's one little pitiful pearl lying down there because you are the pearl of great price. So I hope I pull cold water on any ideas you have about how good a person you are. So I think you're good people. Don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not the person to judge on that score. Been there and I've done that. I'm talking about what is divine good that you will find out as gold, silver, or precious stone at the evaluation tribunal. How do you arrive at that level? You impress people with the things you do. That's not the part of this game you need to be emphasizing. This game is serious and it has eternal implications. Learn how to produce divine good. And when you do, because you know it came from the Word of God, that it came from the Holy Spirit inspiring you to pull that volitional trigger. And it's because of the Word of God you appropriated by His ministry that drove you to that decision. And you were confident when you did it that you had done the right thing because the Bible told you so. And you're humbled by that. The filling of the Holy Spirit takes place in the soul, whereby the believer, current on rebound, is in status quo spirituality functioning inside the divine power system, or as we call it, the bubble, because it can pop in a heartbeat. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit establishes the body as a temple for the indwelling of God, the indwelling of Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of Him as Shekinah glory. See, He showed the Shekinah glory at the Mount of Transfiguration for just a few moments. And the witnesses there were Peter, James, and John. And they saw this. And they realized without any pause that they were looking at the Messiah. You draw any other conclusion after that, then you are deluded. And what the Lord say to them, do not tell this to anybody until I'm dealt with. And so they kept their mouth shut for a little while. I know it's tough for Peter, but apparently he did it. The filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary, being canceled by the commission of personal sin and loss of spiritual status. That's the filling. The believer remains in status quo carnality until he decides to confess his sins as per 1 John 1:9, also noted in Psalm 32:5. Both testaments have this, by the way. Rebound is not particular to the church age only. It's every dispensation. I have sinned against you and you only, said David. And he had done a lot of stuff to a lot of people. But where's the sin? Where is it credited? It's credited to him by God, and he sinned to God because he did not do what God would have him do. The people are just the ramification of a poor decision. Who's taking care of the good decision, the poor decision? It would be God's going to have to take care of that. I have sinned against you and you only. Why? Because God's the one that drew up the plan of behavior. How do you conduct yourself in society? In other words, why on earth did you think you could have that man killed so you could steal his wife from him? What were you thinking? Did he sin against Uriah? Did he sin against Bathsheba? They were the targets of his sin. But to whom did he sin? God. Against you and you only have I sinned. Biblical synonyms for spirituality include Galatians 5:16. If you are led by means of the Spirit, notice the if clause there. That's Galatians 5:16. If you are led by means of the Spirit, if so, then you're a good person. How about that? If you're led by means of the Spirit, you're a good person. That makes you feel better today, I hope. All right. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, which means you're not. You're out of fellowship. You're in a status quo carnality, making poor decisions. So that pulls you back down to earth. Then there's 1 John 1:7, walk in the light. Well, if the mandate is to walk in the light, then apparently you're in the darkness. That's not a good thing to know. Get out of the darkness. How do you get out of the darkness? Confession alone to God alone. Get in the light. So, 1 John 1:9, walk in the light. 2 Peter 1:4, become partakers of the divine nature. How do you partake of the divine nature? Think that way. How do you think that way? Inside the bubble. Status quo spirituality until you sin. Hebrews 12:13, make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. How do you make straight paths? You go to Proverbs and you find out there as you see the dichotomy between wheel tracks of righteousness versus wheel tracks of wickedness. It's all over Proverbs. And then so a righteous concept is given first and then a negative concept is given second. And the idea is walking like peripateto. And so when you see trachea in Hebrews 12:13, it says make straight paths with your feet. How do you do that? You start walking. And as you walk, this is your daily life, the decisions you make along the way, you come to a path that's split. You know, I came to a fork in the road, so I decided to take one of them. And if you get to that fork in the road, here comes the volitional decision. What do I do here? Well, if you think you're going to impress somebody by moving to the right, then you make that decision based on human viewpoint. If you say, no, I need to go left here because the Word of God recommends that I do that. That's divine choice making as opposed to cosmic choice making. And so this walking deal, this straight paths with the feet, walking in the light, all of that, what does that mean? It means an inventory of ideas that's in your soul from Bible study. And you have that inventory to reference for decision making. And when you make good decisions from a position of strength over time, then that facilitates that wheel track in your brain. Facilitates. And that means not only does that neural pathway become larger, it appropriates other similar data in other parts of the brain. So you have constellations functioning. So you're pulling from a high inventory of ideas, and that is facilitating and making a path of least resistance for a biblical idea. And that means Bible study over and over and over again. So that idea is so secure in your thought process that it is who you are. And when a circumstance that recalls that, that means you're going to go there first, path of least resistance. Now, you know the study on the theology of neurology, and you know how that is exactly how the human mind works. When you try to learn something and therefore become efficient at doing that, you want to facilitate whatever memory traces you have so that when you enter into the activity, you automatically do that. If a ball is hit back to you and a runner's on third base, you don't throw to first, for example. You have to have it ingrained in your mind. When a man is moving forward on a bunt, the whole idea is to score him. It is important not to let that man score. What that guy does will matter later. That guy there, do not let him score. Do not throw to first. Where do you first hear that? Rookie league. So why does a man do that? Knowing better. He was sick. So then you've got to ask a question, why put a man with a flu on the mound? He did not have his faculties. He was sick. Jason Simon Tachi would have been better. You remember him, don't you? Apparently he's a good pitching coach because he's in the Cardinal minor league system. But I'm not saying he was ever a candidate for Cy Young. So where do you work? What decisions do you have to make each day? Do you foul up on the job because you made a poor decision? And then the boss comes and says, Fred, what were you thinking? Well, I'm sick. Now you think sick. How about I don't pay you anymore? Oh, no, please, Mr. Fred, don't do that. Let me stay on. Enough of those, though, will get you fired. Everybody makes mistakes. And that's why there's rebound. And that's why there's spirituality. And that's why you get start over. But you know, if you're in a learning process on anything, you have to learn as much as you can, as quickly as you can. And then on the job, you're a rookie. And then you start making mistakes, but you learn from them. And that's the way it is in the Christian way of life. So spirituality is an imperative in order to for that process to have clarity as it moves along. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Word of God. With an interest to do better, to get better, to be better. Your goal is not to be a good person. Okay? Get that out of your mind. When you went to one of those churches, get it out of your mind. Your goal is not to be a good person. Your goal is to represent Jesus Christ in this world through the grace process He's provided. That's it. Don't get to doing anything you want to brag about. Not about you. It's about the Father. It's about what Christ did for us, what the Holy Spirit empowers you to do. Got all those synonyms there. Now the next, and I guess maybe I better quit here. We've got a new category of counterfeit procedures. This one has to do with righteousness. So naturally, that's a good one to follow religion, because all religious people think they're righteous, that they're good people. You know, even Islam people think they're good people. How many people did you dehead today? Oh, I did 15, sir. Excellent. You're a good person. So it depends on where you are as to whether you're good. On the human side, see, we can go to any of these religions and say, what have you done today to serve the Lord? I say, well, you know, I gave money to poor folks. Okay. Are you going to write that off? Oh, yes. Yes, beloved, I'll write it off. All these religions will have ways for you to feel good about yourself. What have you done? Oh, I did this. Wonderful. And you may be a deacon of the month or something like that. You have this thing going on. Have you ever been deacon of the month? I'm deacon. I'm happy to know. You should know that I am deacon, Mr. Griffin. Because they told me that once you're a deacon, you're always a deacon. But I never was deacon of the month. I was not. I was not a good person. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of studying these things today. We do thank you for the fact that you are the ultimate good. And the Bible is the ultimate information that you've provided for us to move along in your plan so that we can produce divine good. And divine good is whatever we do that's appropriate to you and is based on your word. Motivate us to focus our attention on that. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai rene, pleithun thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.